So may I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So one of my childhood memories that is kind of lodged in my mind is being lost at the pick and mix section of Woolworths. Do you remember the pick and mix section of Woolworths? It was the place to be if you were a child and were in Woolworths. It's not a bad place to be lost, I suppose, but at that time I was only four, so I panicked. My mother was looking at something far less interesting than sweets, dresses I would have to guess, and I went off probably to look at the toys. And I remember the panic I felt as I looked around and couldn't see my mother. I returned to the pick and mix, looked for her, but she was nowhere to be seen. And eventually, she found me. But do you know what she did? When she found me, she told me off. She told me off because, of course, I'd wandered away. And if you have children, you might also have felt the panic when you lose your child. There is possibly nothing that makes a parent more powerless when their child seems to be there one minute and disappear the next. Then, of course, there's the inevitable frantic search until you find them. And when you do find them, of course, the natural response would be, you would have thought, to hug our child. But usually, as my mother did, we tend to tell them off in our relief. It's an interesting response, isn't it? But fortunately, God does not scold us when he finally finds us after his long and hard search for us. And Jesus confirms this in our readings this morning. Our two parables are to do with something that is lost. We have both a lost sheep and a lost coin. The parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin are basically the same story. In each, something is lost, searched out, and found. Jesus is making a simple point here. He came to search and find the ones who are lost. But he also came to restore what was lost. And we know as Christians that salvation is based on not merit, but grace. And what I mean by that is that it's not about what we do, it's about what God does on our behalf. We don't really deserve God's love or God's forgiveness, but through grace we can receive it. We just need to be willing to be found. God's heart towards sinners is often different than our hearts would be towards sinners. He's not waiting for us to turn our lives around. He's simply out there searching for us to bring us home. God is always on the move, always looking. Even if we're stuck in a metaphorical cave or lost in a metaphorical forest, God is searching for us. He is not content on merely finding the lost ones. He also rejoices in their restoration, in their coming home to him. God searches for and finds the lost one by one until all his children are tucked up safe in his arms. And then, I believe, God throws a heavenly party and there's much rejoicing. Now the sinners and the tax collectors who were gathered around Jesus probably understood that Jesus was referring to them. They got it. Jesus was there for the sinners and the tax collectors. They were the lost sheep. They were the lost coin. Jesus had come looking for them, and they had been found. Praise God. In our reading from 1 Timothy that Izzy read, Paul is thanking God for his mercy because he was lost too and is now found. He was, in fact, a persecutor of the Christians, of the Jews. He was himself a Pharisee, yet Jesus changed him from within. So here, Jesus is actually instructing the self-righteous Pharisees and scribes. The sinners and tax collectors had already been found by Jesus, but the Pharisees and the scribes were still turning away from him. Jesus was calling them to turn back towards God, as Paul would later do. Paul, or should I say Saul at this point, and the other Pharisees knew the law, but they did not know God. They looked at the details of the law and found rules to obey without seeing the heart of love that is in Christ. They were too full of themselves to be needy for Christ. They were lost and needed to be found. But most challengingly of all, they did not know it. In each of the parables that we heard, Jesus includes two characters. The first is that which is lost, the sheep. The second is that who seeks, the shepherd, or the coin and the woman. The lost must be found, but in each instance, the lost do not know that they are lost. We have no indication that the sheep had understood its plight. It had no aware of the danger. He thought he was fine. He was probably enjoying the freedom of the countryside, but of course he didn't know that there were predators about and all his fun could soon be stopped. And of course the coin obviously had no ability to see or to understand or even to think. Each one was lost, and each matter so much that the seeker leaves much to find the one. We remember the shepherd left the 99 sheep to find the one lost sheep. And the woman had 10 coins. She had 9 coins that she knew where they were. It was only that one that she had no idea of its location. She still looked for the one. And the one who seeks wastes no time. The shepherd abandons the 99, as we heard, and the woman sweeps the house over and over to uncover the lost coin. Time is not mentioned. Cost is not counted. All that matters is the one being returned to the many. And when it is, as I said, then that party can be thrown. It is not the sheep who stayed or the coins in the bank that were the cause of celebration. It was the sheep that wandered, the coin that was lost, and then everyone all together was invited to rejoice. The Pharisees and the scribes don't seem to know how to rejoice. Instead, when they see sinners coming to Jesus, they blame Jesus for being too lenient, too forgiving, and for being too gracious. They miss the wonder of his mercy. And I believe they think that they deserve the party more than the sinners. But what about you? Which are you this morning? Are you a repentant sinner who knows your and others' need of forgiveness through Jesus Christ? Or is your heart rather hardened by laws and rules like the Pharisees? Or whichever, my challenge to you this morning is to allow yourself to be found and to be held by the one who loves you with such impossible love. Don't be cynical about others and about what they have. Let your judgments go so you can be swept up in love and gratitude by the one who died for you.